Certainly, we know our hearts is a great blessing for us to be here tonight. What a refuge and wonderful place we have to come out from the walks of this world, to come amongst our family in Christ. That's one thing that has really been very pronounced, very obvious to me about the way y'all gather together and the way y'all worship. The ones that have come out and to this meeting, y'all seem to be a united family, and I appreciate that. I can tell that y'all love each other very much, and I thank the Lord for that. If you have your Bibles with you, I'd like to go to Hebrews chapter 12. Do not feel like I'm going to stand long tonight. I want to hear Brother Adam and praying that the Lord would bless my efforts and bless his as well. And we beg you that you pray that the Lord would send his spirit to attend to the words that we say, and he'd give us understanding and guidance and leadership as we try to stand up here and present a word to you. Apostle, we believe Apostle Paul is writing here, and in the first verse he says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." I'm not going to really address that much because I don't know much about running races. But I do know about this. In this race, it's a lot easier when you do the second verse. It says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." If the Lord will bless us tonight, I want to look at just a couple passages talking about looking unto Jesus. There are many accounts in the Bible to where the disciples of God and people who had just heard of the Lord and heard of Jesus, that they found relief. They found what they needed to be healed from. They found salvation. They found deliverance by looking unto Jesus. First account I want to look at is over in John, whenever John the Baptist was baptizing by the River Jordan. And he looks, and behold, the Lord's coming, and he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Whenever you behold something, you look upon something. And I want you to understand what he says here. He says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Y'all think John the Baptist knew what a lamb was used for? Of course he did. We find in the account of Luke and that his father was the high priest that year in Luke chapter 1. And he was performing the high priest duties inside the tabernacle, and an angel appeared unto him. My point is, John's daddy was a high priest. And John knew, from his daddy being a high priest, he knew what a lamb was used for. What's a lamb used for? It's to make atonement. And whenever he looked at the Lord Jesus Christ there as he was baptizing, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Whenever he looked at Jesus, he seen him as his Savior. He seen him as the atonement for the sins of God's people. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which take away the sins of the world." And I'm going to tell you, like I told you this morning, that's not talking about everybody in the world. Because if that's talking about everybody in the world, then nobody's going to hell. Well, that's talking about the Lord's atonement is worldwide. A people out of every nation, kindred, tongue, and tribe. That's what it's talking about, worldwide. That is just not to the Jews, it's to the Gentiles as well. And he understood that a lamb was for the atonement of sins. And whenever he seen the Lord, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." I tell you, have you beheld the Lamb of God? Have you beheld him as your Savior? That's what he was saying. This is our Savior. One of the accounts we find in scriptures about a lamb saving some folks is over there in Exodus with the Passover. And we know there that they took that lamb and they killed that lamb and they took the blood of that lamb and they applied it on the doorpost. They applied some here, they applied some here, and they applied some here. What does that look like to y'all? Looks like a cross. And that's what it was pointing to. It was pointing to the cross. And the point I want to make here is, who had the responsibility to apply that blood? Was it the wives? We're the bride of Christ. Was it the children of the household? We're the sons of God.
Was it to apply the blood on the doorpost so that death would pass over and not touch that family? It was the head of the household's responsibility. And what does Colossians tell us? That Jesus Christ is our head. So who applied the blood? Who made the offering? Who did what needed to be done? Jesus did. If it was one of us, then that would mean he left it up to the bride to do it. Or to the wife to do it. If it was one of us, then that means he would leave it up to the children to do it. But because he's the head of the household, he did it. He's the faithful husband. He's the faithful father. I tell you, when we preach about fathers, we need to talk about the great father there is who would not forsake any of his. Whenever we preach about husbands, we need to talk about that faithful husband. And whenever we preach about wives, we need to talk about that bride that he perfected with his blood. And I'll tell you, first of all, whenever we look at Jesus, we need to behold him as our Lamb. We need to behold him as our Savior. Let's go over to Mark chapter 5. The rest of my remarks want to look kind of a timely application about looking unto Jesus. Over in Mark chapter 5, we find a... let me just get there. I really like this biblical account. In the 25th verse, and a certain woman. You know, the Lord died for certain people. It just wasn't for people by chance. He died for certain people. And it says here in the 25th verse, it says, and a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. I love this verse right here. I opened it up a while ago and I read that verse. It hadn't really jumped out at me before, but I read it and I tapped Brother Adam on the shoulder and I read it to him and it was just beautiful. It says, when she had heard of Jesus. Isn't that a beautiful verse? When she had heard of Jesus. Have you heard of him? What have you heard about him? Do you believe it? When she had heard of Jesus. And whatever she heard, she believed, Brother Chris. I tell you, what you hear behind this pulpit, I want you to believe it. I want you to lay hold on it. I want you to utilize it. Because that's what she did. It says, when she heard of Jesus, came in the press. What she heard about her Lord motivated her to do something. I tell you, James says, don't be hearers of the word, be doers. You know, people talk about grace makes you fat and lazy. Hey, if it wasn't for grace, I'd be fatter and lazier than I am. Grace is the reason I'm here. Preaching is the most exercise I get. But really, grace don't make you fat and lazy. My favorite song we sing in a good old songbook back home, it says, for the cross of Christ inspires my heart to sing redeeming grace. Awake my soul and bear part in my Redeemer's praise. You see what it says there? The cross of Christ makes me fat and lazy? Or the cross of Christ does what? It inspires my heart. I tell you, you tell me about a Jesus who was rich but became poor for me? That inspires me. I tell you, God's people have been so good to me. And whenever they extend their love to me and I can see it and the fruits that they bear, does it make me just want to lay down and be satisfied? Or does it make me want to show my gratitude towards them? It makes me want to show my gratitude. Hey, I thank you. I love you. And that's, we receive the greatest gift there is, eternal life. We were going to hell, right? The deserving. He placed us in heaven. He became poor for us. What type of gratitude should we be showing to our Lord out of love? But what I want to look at here in the 25th verse says, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, 12 whole years. Think about this. She was sick. She had an issue of blood for 12 years. That's a long time to be incapacitated with something, to be decrepit with something, to be to have an illness for 12 whole years. And then it says this, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. This sister, she had inquired of everywhere else. She sought everywhere else, sought many physicians. She was looking wherever she could to be healed. And then she heard of Jesus, and she went to the only place that she could go to be healed. I tell you, brothers and sisters, what my problem is, and my walk with the Lord, my discipleship with the Lord, and a lot of other children of God's problems with their discipleship in the Lord, we are seeking everywhere else for comfort. We are seeking everywhere else for healing. We are seeking everywhere else for peace. I'm just going to put it where the rubber meets the road. You know why I weigh 550 pounds? I mean, I'm just going to get real with you. Do you know why I'm as big as I am? Because I haven't always sought my comfort from the Lord. Whenever I would get depressed and I should seek after my counselor, Jesus Christ, you know who I would go to? Popeye's Chickens. Go get the big 12-piece box, two sizes of mashed potatoes, and a Diet Coke. Right? Hypocrisy, right? But my point there is, it was a lot easier for me to seek that natural comfort to supplement the Holy Ghost to give me a quick fix of comfort by that eating than it was to pray to my God, than it was to read the Lord's Word. I tell you, so many times we're like this sister. She sought everywhere else, and she didn't get any better. She grew worse. I tell you, whenever we start trying to supplement the Holy Ghost, start trying to take, we understand what a supplement is. If you don't eat greens, you need vitamin K. So you take a vitamin K vitamin to supplement for the greens you're not eating. And instead of getting the Holy Ghost, instead of seeking the Holy Ghost, we seek after natural comforts because it's a little easier than killing the flesh and seeking after the Spirit, is it not? I mean, sometimes it's just a lot easier to obey the flesh than it is the Spirit. But we're not after easy, are we? Because look where easy got her. It made her grow worse. Where Popeye's Chicken get me? It made me grow worse. Whenever you want rest and you go to the television instead of God's Word, it's going to make you grow worse. It's not going to increase your spirituality. Where are you seeking your comfort from? Where are you seeking your rest from? Where are you seeking your peace from? Is it going unto Jesus? And there was a throng about him, meaning there was a lot of stuff in her way. Sometimes for us to get to Jesus, to just touch the very hem of his garment, there's going to be a lot of things in our way. But I love what she did. I can picture there, Brother Chris, she crawled. Because she touched the very hem of his garment. She crawled. I tell you, whenever we find ourselves needing the Lord, we need to crawl. We need to get on our knees. We need to crawl to him. Say, Lord, if I could just touch the very hem. Lord, I know you have the strength. I know you have the power. Heal my life. She needed to be healed. Do we need to be healed in our lives? Does my pastoralship need to be healed? Does my preaching need to be healed? Do me as a me being a faithful son, does that need to be healed? There's some people here that tonight, them being fathers, they need to be healed. Does your family need to be healed? Does your marriage need to be healed? What needs to be healed in your life? Go to the Lord. Crawl to him. What do you need in your life? What function of the Lord do you need in your life? Let's go over to Isaiah 9. Verse 6. For unto us a child is born, It's talking about Jesus Christ. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name, listen to this, his name shall be called Wonderful. Any of y'all need some wonderful in your life? Call to the Lord. His name shall be called Wonderful. His name shall be called Counselor. You need some direction in your life? You need some advice from your life in your life? I tell you, instead of going to Dr. Phil, instead of inquiring of the things of this world, instead of inquiring from the wisdom of this world, go to the great Counselor. His name, that's what he's called. Who doesn't need some wonderful? I need some wonderful in my life. I need some Counselor in my life. His name shall be called the Mighty God. Who doesn't need the Mighty God in their life? Who doesn't need that Mighty God power in their life? What do y'all believe about the power of God? Do we believe like that centurion did? You know, what I love about the centurion, when everybody else went to get healed of the Lord, they wanted to touch him. They wanted him to do something. They needed to see him there. But the centurion says, "Lord, I'm not even worthy to be in your presence." And then he says this. He says, "All you got to do is say the word." He says, "I'm a man under authority." He says, "I got 100 soldiers under me. I tell somebody to jump and they jump." That's what he says. He's saying, whatever I tell somebody to do, they do it. He said, all you got to do is say the word. You know what he was saying there? I understand that you got power. Do we believe the Lord has power to heal our lives? Do we believe his promises? Just come unto me. You got turmoil in your life? Come unto me. You're heavy laden in your life? You feel like you can't move? Are you in prison like John the Baptist was? Do like John the Baptist did. Send unto Jesus. I tell you, whatever problem we got in this world, let us look to Jesus about it. Let us finish this. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Oh, who doesn't want peace? Everybody always talking about peace, peace, peace. The only peace you're ever going to find in this world is in Jesus Christ. That's the only place it's ever going to be, because that's his name. He's the Prince of Peace. Let's go over to Matthew 14 and I'll give way to Brother Adam. You know, sometimes in our lives, we say, you know, you talk to people and you say, you know, we hadn't seen you in church in a while. Won't you come back? We miss you. Well, Brother Danny, you know, things just ain't going real good right now. Once things get on track, I'll be back in church. Well, you know, that's when you need to be in church. When things aren't on track, that's when I need the Lord the most. Whenever things aren't going right. Look over here in Matthew 14. The 25th verse. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. There was a storm. And they were in the ship there, in the boat there. And the Lord's walking on the sea, and they get troubled. And it says, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." My whole point is here, Jesus looked at the Lord and said, "Lord, if it's you, let me walk on water. Let me come to you on the water." And the Lord said, "Come." And Peter walked out there. My whole point is, this wasn't the best time, in a natural perspective, for somebody to be walking on water, Brother Chris. It's at night, and there's a hurricane going on. You know, me and my little faith, even though I'm trusting the Lord, I might pick a better day. And I might pick a day when the wind is 0 miles per hour. But he picked when there was a storm going on. Don't wait for the weather to clear. Don't wait. I read this Bible, do it more. Do it more. None of us ever does it enough. If we ever think we got it figured out, we're doing it enough, that's when we really need to repent and do it more. And ask the Lord to give us a spirit of humbleness. This was not the time for Peter to walk on water, but he trusted in the Lord and he got out of the boat. I tell you, sometimes we're just holding on to the boat. Let us jump out of the boat. You know, people give Peter a bad rap because he doubted and he sank. He was the only one that got out of the boat. Whatever's going on in your life, whatever you need healing in your life, let's go unto Jesus. I tell you, He'll help you walk on that water in a time of trouble. Thank you for your kind attention, Tom. God bless you.